talking about sheep. So I thought I'd get a picture of some sheep and their voices coming down here a little bit to get us thinking a little bit about sheep and sheepfolds and gates and this whole business of what it means when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and I am the gate, and what that means for us as sheep. And I thought that was just kind of appropriate to get us kind of thinking here and smelling a little bit about what sheep would be like. And last week we talked so much about sheep in regards to them knowing their master or their shepherd's voice. And so many times Jesus says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And later on he says, I have other sheep that aren't in this fold, but I'm going to go get them too because they're going to know my voice as well and will listen to me. It is important that we in his fold, members of his flock, learn to hear and to recognize his voice, because gosh sakes, for sure there are so many other competing voices. There are so many other people that want their voices heard, and they so much want to be our shepherd. So it's important that we learn to recognize his voice. We talked last week, this is kind of review, but we talked, you know, we learn to hear his voice through this church and through our experiences and no doubt through prayer. But first and foremost, we learn his voice, our master's voice, through scripture. That is primarily how he speaks to us. And we need to begin to view this Bible as really a way of developing a relationship between us sheep and our shepherd. That is the purpose of the Bible. It's about building this relationship. It's not just about facts. It's not just about knowledge, because, you know, you probably know people that know this thing cover to cover, but still, they're not a follower. They're still can be hate-filled. They know this on a mental level, but they've not done it in such a way that they've developed a relationship with our shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we need to come to it and engage in it in such a way that it will allow him to reveal himself to us so that we can come to recognize his voice. And that's a big book. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there, and it can be overwhelming and intimidating. But just like anything else, it's a step at a time. It's just a step at a time that we open that and we read and we learn and we ponder and we listen frequently. And in time, we can get through a lot of this and we can come to know him and recognize him because we're there and we're at his feet and we're listening. So last week, you know, I mentioned, I'll say it a little bit differently this week, but I'm trying to learn a little more about sheep. And because I'm not a farm kid, and it's kind of embarrassing. So for me to learn about sheep, I got to go to YouTube and Google these kind of things to try to figure out, you know, a little bit about sheep. That's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, one of the things I kind of noticed, you know, and I hope you saw it there on that video, is, you know, with sheep, there's this dependency. I know different with different animals, but is, you know, when sheep come in, they come in by this voice, and it was kind of interesting. They, you know, I watched some people that would go out to the flock, and the shepherd was right there, and he'd tell them the words to say, you know, here, sheep, 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 or whatever their call was, you know. And different people would try their thing. They wouldn't come. But when the shepherd did it, they came just like we saw them here, because they knew the shepherd's voice. But then also knowing the voice when they come, there's something about this nature that you see in sheep, because they know that voice because they know who feeds them. That's kind of part of how this works. They know who feeds them. They know who is going to care for them. They know who is going to protect them. And in there you see, kind of in their faces, there's this vulnerability. There's this dependency that you, I know I'm putting some characteristics on an animal, but you sort of see that there, that they've come to attach themselves so much with their master, with their shepherd, that they made themselves vulnerable, because this is the person that's going to protect me and care for me and give me what I need. Wonderful lessons there for us. That's character. Those are character attributes that we need to put on as well. I kiddingly told you last week when we left that, you know, let's go and be sheepy. But that's, I think, part of that. That's part of this character that is difficult for us to do because we're saying that we need to be dependent and we need to be vulnerable and we need to rely on someone else for our cares and for our needs. That's tough for people in the West because we want to do it all on our own. We want to figure it out by ourselves. We want to get our wallets out and take care of all of our stuff and do it independently. But there's a lesson to learn in these vulnerable sheep as they come down. That's you and me. And that's a battle I think that we need to take on. That is a takeaway here of this sheepness that we need to have. There's so much more here in this passage. That's why we're going to spend a couple of weeks here talking about sheep. But this is in the middle of what we're trying to do here. Jesus is using this language that I am the good shepherd and I am the gate of these sheep. He's using this in these I am statements. He's doing this in a way to help reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to come to know him how he would like for us to know him, and that is in this dependent relationship. And we've learned already, he's used other I am statements. I'm your bread. Nourish yourself on me. I am the bread. That was a few weeks ago. And we also talked about, I am light. Be found in my light because it will reveal truth. And here we are talking about sheep and shepherds and gates and so forth. But before we get into kind of a lengthy passage that we have today, I wanted to go to the end of this because there is an interesting response that the people have to what he is about to say that we'll get to in a minute. How do these people respond when he talks about me being this shepherd and this gate and what I'm going to do with my life and so on? There are three verses here I want to point out towards the end. If you're in your Bibles, it's all out of John chapter 10. It says in verse 19, the Jews were divided because of these words that we'll get to in a minute. But he caused division. He's going to talk about, you know, I'm a shepherd and I'm a gate and they hear my voice and he's going to go on. We'll talk about this a little bit more. And what they do? They divide over it. There's something in these words that caused division. And it says in verse 31 that they took up stones to stone him. They were so offended. You know, he calls himself a shepherd of the sheep, and that made him so mad, we're going to stone him. And they tried to arrest him in verse 39, but they couldn't do it. He escaped out of their hands. So what was it? What did he say there? What's so controversial? What jacked him up so much that, you know, these people wanted him out? Well, let's take a look at this. There's so many things inside of this passage, and we're just going to be able to skim over some of the day. So in chapter 10, starting at verse 7, you can follow along in your Bibles, or this should all be up on the screen. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Lots of things in there about sheep and this relationship, about what it would mean. So much probably more for people of the day that were directly involved with sheep, but we can for sure glean some things out of here that our understanding of who Jesus is and how we should be responding to him as our master and as our shepherd, we can get from this. One of the things that we need to pull out of here is the reason why there is some division. And why perhaps those people towards the end of the chapter are mad. They're ready to stone the guy. Well, Jesus makes some division here. It's not all warm and fuzzy all the time. He lays it out. There is this or there is this. And you can't have it both ways. And if you are a person that's 40 years or younger, I will tell you that you have lived in a culture where you are bombarded by a voice that tells you that there is no absolute truth. You could believe this and that's okay. And over here I can believe that and it's okay, and they might not line up at all, but that's okay because there's no such thing as truth. And that's something that's kind of a modern thing that, you know, especially our young people are just so bombarded by, but that simply is not the case here. There is a truth here. There is an absolute here, and I believe it applies to us today. There isn't a shepherd. There isn't a gate. Jesus said, I am the shepherd and the gate. And there is already divisions here. There may be this desire for us to get people into the pen, but by not using the gate or by not using the shepherd. And that's what he's saying. Otherwise, if you are doing something other than that, you're a thief or you're a bandit. Oftentimes, churches simply want to get people to come to church. Get them in there. Get them into the church. And it can be done by other ways than the shepherd or the gate. They will get them there because it's a friendly place and they sing certain songs or worship a particular way. And we get them in there, get them into the pen, because the people there are an awful lot like them, or the social things they do are just, you know, it's a lot of fun. And if that is the essence of what the church is, if that is what they're merely about, is to get people in there and simply to connect to them on a social level or a fun level, you've crept in over the wall. You snuck in and you're a thief and you're a bandit. But that, I don't believe, is what we're about. And I don't think that is what real true churches are about. There is a much deeper meaning to what it is we do here and why we are here. Because we acknowledge the shepherd and we acknowledge that our lives are lost and dead. But they're alive again because of the shepherd and because of the gate. That is central. It becomes our priority. Our whole lives are about serving the shepherd. The social stuff and the fun things and the connections between people are secondary. That's a byproduct of the fundamental reason that we are here, the shepherd and the gate, the way. Not a way, but the way. If you're trying to sneak in another way, you're doomed, and you and your lives are virtually meaningless. And I think that for sure happens outside the church. Outside the church, people without Christ are lost and they're doomed. But inside the church, if you're inside the church, but you've snuck in another way, not through the gate and not through the shepherd, we are just as doomed. If you've not come by the way of the shepherd, if you've not come by the way of the gate, the way where you confess you're dead in your own life, and because of that sin that you have, but you are alive by trusting and submitting in that shepherd, if you're trying to do it in any other way than that, you're dead. Those are strong words. Those are strong words. But I got a passage up here from Matthew that I have a note in my Bible where I've got all my notes at, that I said in the margin there, it says, my dad had trouble with this verse. Because it's a tricky verse. Because this verse indicates what he saw, that there are people inside the church that have tried to sneak in another way. Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, the reckoning day here, many will say to me, get this, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. No wonder my dad was kind of shook up by that. You know, think what these people were doing. They're inside the church and they're casting out demons and they're prophesying in his name and they're doing these deeds of power. They're doing all this stuff. I never knew y'all. I never knew you. You snuck in. You didn't come by the gate. You didn't understand forgiveness. You didn't understand me as your shepherd. You snuck in and tried to do church work I never knew you. There is one gate. There's one shepherd. That is not the most politically correct statement a guy can make today in 2018, but it's not my job to be politically correct. It's true. And we need to say that because there's going to be a time when he's going to say, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. I never knew you. Strong words. Another cool point about this shepherding sheep idea here is he makes this statement here in John 10 and 9. He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. And I think this is kind of neat here. I think this we need to understand that there for sure is a time for us to be in the pen and to know that there's boundaries. Last week I talked about, I kind of think about this as being a pen. You know, we got these bricks up here. We're supposed to imagine they go all the way around it and we're in the fold. And there's times that we need to stay in the fold and be bound by the limitations that he's put around us. Because it's safe and he knows what's best for us. And we need to listen to those things that he tells us to do and not to do inside these boundaries and those rules. There's time for that because he cares for us. But he says that we're free to come and go. And I think that is what we are supposed to do as well. We are supposed to not just stay in the confines of the church. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we are sent out into that world. We are to go out there and we are to bring other people to this shepherd. We're sent there not to be like the world, but know that we are sent into the world for those who don't know that voice yet, to bring them in so they can become like him as well. And you know, it's easy sometimes in the church, you know, when you're in a community like this, that all of your acquaintances and all your connections, all your friends and everybody you run into are fellow followers. I think there's something wrong with that. You're staying in the pen all the time. How are we connecting with pre-believers here? And I think we need to question ourselves. Are we connecting with people who have yet come to know the shepherd? And that's what he's saying. You have some freedom to come and go into this fold because I'm going to send you into the world. The next thing here I want to pull out of this passage here is this interesting idea about Jesus that he says five times here, I will lay down my life. He says it starting at 11, that I will lay down my life for the sheep. And then later on in 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. 17, because I lay my life in order to take it up again. 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord and I have the power to lay it down. Five times he talks about laying down his life. And I want us to get this picture a little bit about laying down his life. So, Tammy, our set design crew, you know, imagine this stone wall goes all the way around here. This is the fold. And we said last week that sheep pens, sheep folds were often stone walls that may be 3 feet high so the sheep couldn't jump over them. And then oftentimes they'd take stickery bush things and put on top so the thieves and the bandits couldn't get in. They had to come in that way. And there was a gate that was an opening that would be like this. And it wasn't a swinging gate. It was just an opening. That's what the gate was. It was an opening there. So imagine this as being our fold here. And we have our good shepherd. There's a good visual. We have it up here on that south wall. And we've been out in green pastures. He's been out there with us. And it's time for him to lead us, this flock, into this fold. And on this way, he will lead us for sure beside still waters, and he will lead us along the right path to get us where he's going. And no doubt there may be very dark valleys he will take us through, but freak not. He's with us, our good shepherd, Psalm 23. And he will bring us in to this fold. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. You know where I'm coming here, Psalm 23. That's our shepherd, and he brings us in, and he brings us into this fold. He brings us into this pen that's enclosed by these stones, and he has this gate here. And when it says he lays down his life, what that means there is this gate was here. He did this at night. He would lay down, the good shepherd would lay down in the gate. And he did this because this was the only way in and out. Any old wolves that are back here that want to get in, they've got to come this way. And he lays down his life to protect this opening, to protect this gate, to keep any wolves or anybody that's going to try to sneak in this way. Or Joel kind of sheep that are out there that are prone to wander. He's going to get up in the middle of the night. You know what he wants to do? He wants to go off and do his thing. So, you know, he's right here. He's going to, his rod and his staff can protect me. And so when it says he lays down his life, good shepherds would do that. They would lay down their life. That's what they laid in that gate. They laid in that opening. And isn't that nice? That tells you that, you know, a hired hand, you know, the guy that's getting $2 an hour to shepherd, he's not laying down here. Wolves are going to come here and bite my tailside. You know, I don't want to have to deal with this. I'm going to go home and sleep. You know, if he's not the good shepherd, he's not the one that's going to be here because he doesn't care. The good shepherd cares and he lays down his life for his sheep. And for sure, what great imagery. What wonderful things that would tell people that knew that about sheep. I didn't know that. Thank you, Google. You know, they lay down. And they would get that. They would understand that. And the people that would hear this, I know now a little more about Jesus. I know what kind of shepherd that is because he really cares about me. And he really wants to protect me. And he wants to keep the bandits and the wolves and those outside things from getting me because he loves me. What a great imagery. And it helps tell us a little bit about our great shepherd. But it gets a little deeper than that. It gets a little more personal. One of the lines that jumped out at me was verse 14. And it says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And he knows everything about those sheep. And you know, for me, that's an awesome thing. Because there's one person probably in the room that kind of knows me, and that's me. I don't know me fully, but I kind of know me. And to know that this good shepherd fully knows me is pretty humbling. Because there are stuff here that I don't want a lot of people to know. There's stuff. You know, and I wish some of this stuff would go away, but there's this stuff that is still here. You know, the way I treat people. You know, the way I think about people and the way I judge people. I don't like it. It's there. And I don't like how I use people as objects sometimes. Objects of power or objects of lust. It's still there. It's this stuff that's on me. And I don't like greed. I don't like envy. And I don't like this selfish stuff that is there. But my good shepherd knows that. And I don't know if you caught the video here, but they really did a neat artistic way. I'm going to show it again here, and I want you to watch it a little more closely. But the band that was singing were covered in gunk. Did you see that? They're covered in gunk. And that's me. That's that gunk. I got this beautiful white suit on, you know? But I'm covered in this stuff called sin. And he knows that. He knows that because it says the shepherd knows me. And that's including that stuff. And now those passages about laying down the life take on a different meaning. Because it's that gunk, it's that colored stuff that's on my white suit that is keeping me from him. And it's that stuff that's in my life that is keeping me from being in relationship with him. Now, I don't think I'm the only one in the room that doesn't have a full white suit on, because I think all of you, when you stop and think about it, you still got gunk. It's still there. We still have this propensity, and this stuff is still lingering, and it still hangs on sometimes. But this laying down the life stuff starts making much more sense. It's not just about this image that I care for you and I protect you, because it's more than that. Because the Father loves me, I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. I love you so much, sheep. I'll lay my life down here to protect you from the wolves. But you know, ultimately, I'm going to lay my life down on that cross. I'm going to lay my life down on a cross because I am that shepherd. And because of that, stuff on my suit, all that stuff, all that color, all of those things that peeled away in that video is because of the cross. Flawless was the name of that song. I am so flawed. I'm so flawed, but the theme of that song is because of the cross, because of the shepherd who laid down his life on the cross, I am flawless. Wow. How do you talk about that? It is so awesome. It is so awesome that he has done that, that I'm flawless. Right now, am I perfect? No, flawless in the sense before my Father, I am made clean because of the cross. I am flawless. We just sang a verse of the song here. I scarce can take it in. I think that's put pretty well. I scarce can take that in because it's so big. I have been made flawless by this shepherd. All that stuff from a righteous perspective is gone. And I ask you that, do you know that? Do you know for yourselves that he loves you that much? You're in the sheepfold. You too. Not just Joel, not just some random unknown sheep, but you. He loves you that much, and he knows everything about you, including all of the good stuff as well as all of that other stuff. Let that sink in, because it is so wonderful. We scarce can take it in. It is so big. It is such a great thing. And do you also know that there are others that he knows? He knows everything about them as well, and he loves them, but they're not hearing his voice. Perhaps at one time they were nudged, but they said, nah, don't want to do that. Perhaps they were in a church for a while, but got the opportunity to slip away from it, and they never came to know that shepherd. I was in Fort Wayne yesterday walking around and downtown, and just every street corner, beautiful churches, these steeples pointing up. We live in a part of the world where you're almost without excuse. There are so many things pointing people to Christ. So many churches. Think of in our community how many churches we have and how many people have been nudged to get involved and to come to know the shepherd but said, eh, not my thing. Not my thing. They don't know the shepherd. They're lost. They never got to know him. Away from me, he'll say, I never knew you. Away from me, I never knew you. They've got us. They have us. They're not lost. They have us. We are the ones, I think, sent into the world. We've got the bread that they need. We have the light of truth. And we know the shepherd that so desperately wants to know them. It is so awesome and great that we are known by him and that we do know him. It's so great that we must share that with other people. I think we're going to skip a song, if that's all right, because that soup smells about killing me. Let's do this. Let's stand, and we will close with prayer, and we will also use this as a blessing on the food before we go downstairs and eat. Would you do that? Would you stand with me? Father God, you are our shepherd and you are our gate, and thank you for this old ancient story that rings so true for us today. And we want to be your best sheep. We want to be your followers, and we want you to be center in our life. And we know it's a process, but just help us take these steps. Let your spirit work in our lives that we may become the people and the sheep that you have us be. Lord, we thank you for this next time that we have. We can come together and have a great time of fellowship. We're thankful for the people that have prepared everything that's been here for us. And just come and party with us and just be with us and laugh along with us and enjoy this day. I pray that you would bless this food, that it would be nourishment to our bodies and our souls, that we would shine your light and be your sheep. Amen.